I want to ask you some questions this morning, and I'm hoping God will bring to my memory the things that I want to say to you this morning. But how many of you have prayed for the United States of America in the last few weeks? Let's see our hands all over this kidney. I'm going to ask another very serious question then. How many have prayed for the most hated nation and group of people in the world? Israel. Now be honest this morning, how many of us have prayed in the last several weeks for that great nation? And raise your hand if you have. It's interesting, about half as many pray for Israel as they pray for the United States of America. And let me say to all of us this morning that Israel is not going to survive because of the greatness of America. But America is going to survive because of the greatness of Israel. There are nations that have come and gone, and I have such a burden. The Lord laid on my heart several years ago that I was not praying for Israel. And I'm reminded in my Bible to pray, and if you'll take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 122 this morning. And turning there, I want you to notice some great truths this morning. God said, you're not praying for Israel, God's chosen people. There are many nations that have come and gone. You have nations of the past, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the electric lights and all those lights. You have the Philistines. Those are nations of the past. Then you have nations that are the past in the present United States. Has a past. United States has a present. But I guarantee you something. United States does not have the future in the Word of God. We're not there anywhere found in Scripture. But there is a nation that has the past and has the presence and has the future. And that nation is Israel. And what I want to do this morning is to encourage us to think about that nation, because everything rises and falls as far as our nation goes to how we react to this nation. Turn to Psalm 122 first. I'm trying to think of some of the other references I need to turn to. I have a photographic mind, but it ran out of film many years ago, and it is too old to find the film. You say that to young people, and they say, what's film? And I want to draw your attention, if I might, to verse 6, 7, 8, and 9 in this great text. Notice, if you will, here, pray, look at verse 6. Pray for what? The peace of the United States? No. The peace of Israel. Notice the times that you find the word peace in this passage. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Jerusalem means the city of peace. That's what the name means, the city of peace. So you have pray for the peace of the city of peace. They shall prosper that love thee. The word prosper is an interesting word. Underline it. It literally means to be at rest. It has no thought here of finances. None whatsoever. But I will say this with all the dogmatism I can, that when we had our former president for 8 years, who looked down on Israel and with great dislike, our economy and everything about America began to disintegrate. Did you note that? God has given us a president. I don't agree with everything he does. It's almost a comic act. Every week, every day, you wonder what he's going to do next. He doesn't even know what he's going to do next. But I'm glad he has made Jerusalem recognize it as the capital of Israel. Be thankful for that. And he has seen them as a great nation. As a result of that, have you noticed things are improving in our country, no matter what the liberals say? It is all improving in our country. Look with me here also. So peace be within thy walls, verse 7, and prosperity within thy palaces. Look at verse 8. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. I have found if you leave Israel out of your prayer life, you will have a restlessness that God wants you to have because you are not praying for that great nation. I don't find anywhere in the Bible to tell me to pray. Well, I guess it does for pray for those in leadership and power in our country. I'm glad to do that, even though they're corrupt. But I'm reminded fervently, dogmatically, to pray for this great land. Leave that portion for now at this time. So you have here, pray for the peace of Israel. I'm challenging you this morning to make that a daily prayer habit. If you pray for the United States, and you should pray for your country, amen, pray for the land that God loves and has set aside. It is interesting. I call it the miraculous land, the miraculous country. Think with me for a few moments with the fact that this country is only a little smaller than the size of New Jersey. A country the size or smaller than New Jersey, and yet God says, despise not small things. That's the country that he loves. From there, turn with me to Genesis in the 12th chapter, if you will, please. And I want you to notice here four promises, four things. This is a covenant that God has made with a great people. There are seven covenants in the scriptures. One of them is unconditional, or is conditional, and that's the Mosaic covenant. You do this, I'll do this. When you come to Israel, there is no condition here. God said, I will bless Israel. And God has formed a little piece of land out there in the desert, size of New Jersey, to be the greatest country in the whole history of mankind. Look what he says with you, if you will, please. Notice, first of all, here, verse 1, now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, and to a land that I will show thee. Notice the place God will give Israel, the land. And we're living in times when all the most hated country of the world, if they could, they would take that land away from Israel. They would kill all of its people and do away with a people that's impossible for them to do away with. I say, thank you, Lord. Somebody asked me one time, how do you know the Bible is truly the Word of God? Well, number one, I do it by faith. Number two, I can say dogmatically, the Holy Spirit has written this Bible. But even this, have you ever thought about every country that has come and gone? And yet one country the size of New Jersey, who has been for hundreds of years, is still in existence, and all the other countries are gone? Well, the answer to that is obvious, is it not? It's in the will of God. So I say, as we've read that verse, so first of all, think with me, one Psalm 122, realize that God wants you to pray. And I'm going to ask you to commit yourself daily in your prayer time to pray. Pray for the peace of Israel. God wants us to do that. I believe also when you do that, God will give you an inward peace. Now, if you have sin in your life, that will remove it. But there is an unusual amount of supernatural peace that comes over one's soul when he prays for the land that God loves so much. And I don't know about you, but I enjoy the peace of God that passes all understanding. We're living in a turmoil, traumatic age. We're living in a time when people are just at one and in, at each other, and there's no peace. I have prayed, and I said, Lord, I'm going to take that verse, Psalm 122, and I'm going to take what it says, and I have an unusual peace that comes. And if I leave out Israel in my prayer life, I get a turmoil because I have already been convicted And if you're convicted to do something, you don't do it, you don't have peace. So we see here, we see the place God will give. Then he talks about the people they will become. And I will make of thee a great nation. That's the second. Now that's the people. First the place, the land of Israel. Then the people. I'll make of you a great people. Now, this is a prophecy. Now, what is prophecy? Prophecy is simply history in advance. That's what prophecy is. And here's in advance. And if you, in any other, think with me, those who would attack Scripture would say, this couldn't be true. It is true. All down through the centuries, Israel has been a great people. I'll make of thee a great nation. So we see the place, we see the people. I wanted you to notice the preeminence. And I will bless thee and make of thee great, name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. In other words, the place, I'll show thee, the land, the people, a great nation, that's a nation. And then, by the way, we're going to talk about it in a moment. What happened in 19? Well, let's do it now. What happened in, I don't have my notes, so I can just do it now. I don't have to pay attention to those notes. I don't remember what they said. I'm a history buff. Anybody else here a history buff? I love reading history. I just read the life of Douglas MacArthur. He's probably one of the greatest men that I could read about. I was so disappointed when Truman fired him. And then it dawned on me one day, do not be so down on Truman that you are. Truman was the leader, the first national leader that recognized Israel as a nation in 1948. And matter of fact, his whole cabinet tried to convince him to vote against making Israel a nation. And he said, I have read my Bible, and I am convinced they are God's chosen people, and I will recognize them as a nation. General Marshall, who was his chief of the army, tried to convince him otherwise, and others on his cabinet. And one of the Jewish rabbis said, you were born from your mother's womb for this day to recognize Israel as a great nation. Now that changed my little bit of view there of Truman, in the sense that I was so glad we had a national. Let's think if we had had Obama there. Seriously. No, that is not a racial thing. That's a reality thing. There is a hatred of many presidents in our country, but thank God, God chose Truman, and I believe God has put up our present president to recognize Israel as a preeminent nation. So I see here not only the place that God will give, I see the people that they were to become, the preeminence that they have. How many will remember the 67 war, 1967? Anybody here remember? Raise your hand all over this auditorium. Just a bunch of us old codgers. I was in college at the time. I can remember well because I was a sophomore in college. Now, you know what a sophomore is, don't you? That's a person who thinks he knows all the answers, but he's not even too sure what the questions are. And we would sit around drinking coffee, wondering what is going to happen when Nasser of Egypt literally surrounded Israel with the idea of obliterating and taking the land away from Israel. And it looked historically at that time, politically at that time, because the United States was the only one of the only two or three nations that was backing up Israel at that time. They were outnumbered, the army, over 100-1. And when the battle was over, Egypt was defeated. The Syrians were on the run. I think maybe it might have been 1,000. I don't have my notes in front of me now. And then when soldiers were captured, the remark was made, how come you ran from an army that was obviously you surrounded by all these countries? You were on the march, you surround them, they should have defeated. How come you didn't defeat? They said it was a lie. There was more. There were thousands and thousands and thousands of soldiers. Well, they weren't soldiers. They were God's angels to protect this great land from being destroyed. I was so glad. I kept thinking, do you ever have any doubts? I was thinking, Lord, I know you said that you were going to keep Israel safe as a nation. That nation that was formed in 1948 when everything was against them, God allowed it. So there is not only the place that God will give, the people they will become, the preeminence they will have. Notice the power they will possess. Would you look in verse 3? I will bless them that bless thee. Now that one ought to be underlined. And I will curse them that curse thee. Go back in history. Every nation that has attacked Israel has been defeated. You can begin with old Pharaoh in Egypt. Haman and Esther. And Jesus Christ, when he was born, they said, we're going to kill every little born baby to do away with a Messiah. The devil says, if you'll kill all those males, we'll not only do away with the Messiah, we'll do away with Israel. He had a double whammy plan there. But God did something. Hitler came along. And what did Hitler do? He not only wanted to conquer the world, he wanted to do away with the most hated people on this planet, Israel. Was it 7-8 million Jews were slaughtered by this maniac? The president of Iran said, we will do everything we can to destroy these people. Stalin, Bobby, killed as many Jews. History will not record that one. As Hitler did in his attack on God's word. And when he died, they said as he laid on that bed, he raised up from off his pillow, shook his face up toward heaven in defiance of God, and fell back on that pillow dead. Because you cannot defy God. And so we see here this nation in its rise. Turn with me, I have many, if I can remember them where they are. Turn with me to the book of Genesis. Excuse me, you're already there. Turn with me to the book of Psalms, please. Turn in the book of Psalms. Turn with me to Psalm 2, if you will, please. I have you to come to that because you say, well, if you read that psalm, take time to read it. What's this got to do with Israel? Everything to do with Israel. I want you to notice three things here. I want you to notice the rebellion against God. I want you to removal of all restraints from God. And then I want you to notice in this text the response of God to these attacks. Look with me, first of all, the rebellion against God. Why do the heathen rage and the peoples imagine vain things? The kings of the earth, the leaders of the world, set themselves and their rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Notice there in verse 2 the word set. It means to take one's stand against. That's what the word means. We see the world today taking a strong stand against God. We see them today in total rebellion and against his anointed. Who's the anointed here? Somebody. Who's the anointed? It's the Old Testament word for the New Testament word, Christ, the anointed one. He's not born humanly here. Hallelujah. but they knew it was coming, prophecy. Let us, then we see not only the rebellion against God, but notice, if you will, the removal of all restraints. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords. Let's not have restraints. We see that today, don't we? What's this all to do with Israel? If you'll give me time, quit questioning that, I'll get to it. But do you not see the world today, particularly the United States, wanting to do away with all restraints? We see that you can come into our country as an illegal alien. No restraints. I don't know how many of you saw the Judge Kavanaugh being interviewed. I saw some of it. I have to say this, I was proud of him. Well, somebody say, anybody here agree with me? Say amen. He did a tremendous job. Standing for what is right, because those liberals wanted to remove all restraints in our country that everybody can do just what they want to do. But please notice, as you deal with the rebellion, as you deal here with the restraints, look there, if you will, please. Notice the reaction of the Lord. He sitteth in the heavens and laughed. The Lord shall have them derision. The idea of that is God just sort of, it's like a little boy going to try to whip his daddy, a little 4-year-old. It's God looks down upon man as they try to conquer God. Look with me then in verse 5. I want you to notice his reaction. First, he will speak in his wrath. That then shall he speak. He will speak in his wrath. Notice that. In his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Secondly, he will set his son upon the throne. What throne? Look there, if you will, in verse 6. Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Anybody know what city that is? That's Jerusalem. There it is. You cannot deal with the wrath of God and with the response of God without realizing when the countries want restraints removed, because basically it's the attack the character of God and the people of God, his beloved Israel. He says, oh, by the way, I will not only speak of my wrath, but I'll set my son upon his throne. Where? In Zion. Zion deals with the future of Jerusalem that God will set up. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee, referring to Christ. And I will give thee the heathen for thy inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession, referring to Christ when he comes back. He not only here speaks of his wrath, he not only here sets his son on the throne, but he will severely judge all nations, every nation that will shake their fist as one did in the face of God and laid back on his pillow and died. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like the potter's vessel. He will severely judge the nations. If you want to see America survive any length of time, pray for Israel. Pray that we'll honor that nation that God so loves. It's in his divine plan. And he will get this. He not only speaks in his wrath, he not only talks about setting his son over the kingdom, he not only will severely judge the nation. I'm glad this. Did you not see the gospel here? He will save those who come to the Son. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, and be instructed and judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoicing with trembling. Kiss the Son. Kiss the Son is the idea of loving the Lord Jesus. We have a nation today that hates our Lord, who hates God, who hates Israel today. Think with me as we move on in your Bibles. Think with me, if you will, please, to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29. Actually, go before, don't turn there yet. As like I say, I've left my notes at home. That's okay. Go to Ezekiel. And I want you to go to Ezekiel chapter 1. And so God today has a nation. Now, God has raised up this nation, and God has chastised this nation for two main reasons. Number one, Israel decided to serve false gods. Matter of fact, Israel, every nation that came along, they took one of their idols. I won't take time to turn to it, but Ezekiel 8 deals with that. And one thing Israel decided today, never to serve false idols. They've learned the lesson. They were greatly judged. And the other is the fact that they crucified the Lord Jesus. You remember when our Lord was crucified there in Matthew chapter 27? Israel said, let his blood beware. Beware. What did Israel say? Let their blood be what? On us and who else? And our children. So down the line, Israel has paid the price in chastisement to make them realize what they have done. Whom the Lord loveth, he chastises. But I want you to know today that one day God is going to raise up this great country. Matter of fact, when you go, I want to go to the book here of, hang on just a minute, Ezekiel, and turn there with me if you will, please. Chapter 29. Give me a minute. When you leave your notes at home and you got a brand new Bible that you're trying to break in, everything that can be done is done against you here right now. The bones. Anybody remember, Doc, you remember where the bones are? In Ezekiel chapter 37. Chapter 37. Turn to Ezekiel 37. I was just saying 37 to you now. That's it. Chapter 37. Turn there with me, if you will, please. And as you look here, notice something. Israel has been greatly chastised because of serving idols for the crucifixion of the Son. Let his blood be upon us, but God loves this great nation. And you have here in Ezekiel chapter 37, God is going to restore this nation. I want you to notice something here. The hand of the Lord, verse 1, was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there was very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. You heard the story of the dry bones of Ezekiel 38. It's about the nation of Israel. If you have dry bones, you have deadness. Amen? And he said to me, son of man, verse 3, can these bones live again? Now, smoke these bones, is Israel as a nation. It's a prophecy. And I answered, Lord, thou knowest. Ezekiel said, that'd be hard for me to answer that question. Only God knows if Israel will ever be come again restored. And he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto thee, bones. Behold, I will cause breath to come into you, and you shall live. Now let me say this. There is two restorations of Israel. There is a political, social restoration, a national restoration in April in 1948. In one day, Israel was born as a nation. But that is not the spiritual. You should never confuse those two. These are the bones coming together. Israel is today a nation because God has put those bones together and put sinew on the bones and they are like a people identified as a nation, but the only problem is they're still dead. It's when the breath of God, look at verse 5, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. When will that take place? When Jesus Christ comes back again. He will do it. Now, you probably have heard, turn with me to Jeremiah 29. You have no doubt heard what we call replacement theology. How many have heard that word, those words? That the church has replaced Israel. And all the promises God made to Abraham there in the 12th chapter of Genesis will be fulfilled by the church. That is called the doctrine of baloney. God, look there in Jeremiah chapter 29. Now, I can take verse 11, and I can take verse 12, and I can take verse 13, and I can say, I can make an application for my own personal life. Amen? For example, look at verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, verse 11. For I know the thoughts, thoughts of peace and not of evil. I give to you an expectant. Thou shalt call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken to you. And you shall seek me and find me when you search me with all your heart. I can say hallelujah. By the way, once you get saved, you're in the continual process of seeking him. Do you know that? Before you got saved, hallelujah, he sought you. Now you're saved, you seek him for fellowship, blessings, power. And then he comes down here, and I will find you, I will be found of you, saith the Lord. I will turn away your captivity, I will gather you from all the nations. Now here he's changing, it's about Israel. He's going to gather them from all the nations, from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I'll bring you again to the place where I've caused you to be carried away captive, because you have said, the Lord hath raised up prophets into Babylon. So what do they say? I will regather the nation Israel, put it all back together again. Hallelujah for those promises of the Word of God. I rejoice. Now let me just turn to Zechariah, the 14th chapter of the book of Zechariah. I could have you turn to the book of Hezekiah. I did that one time in Charleston, and it must have been a dozen people trying to find that book. I would not do that to you. But one day Jesus Christ is coming back to this planet. He is not going to come into Washington, D.C. Look there in chapter 14 as we close. Here you have the restoration of Israel at the return of Jesus Christ. So today, verse 4, verse 2, first, I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the wives raffled, and the women ravished, the houses raffled, the women ravished, and half of the city to go forth to captivity. The resident of the people shall be cut off from the city. This refers to the great battle of Armageddon. Napoleon said the greatest place to have a battle in all this planet is, guess what? Just a few miles from Jerusalem. There, and that place, said it's the greatest battle. He had a battle mind in there because he was a conqueror. Look at verse 3, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he had fought in the day of battle. In other words, these nations, that's going to be the battle of Armageddon. They're going to come and surround Israel. But then look at verse 4. And his feet shall stand that day upon the Mount of Olives. Where's the Lord going to return? Jerusalem. And the Holy City, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof, the east and toward the west, and there shall be a great valley. Half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. I read a book not too long ago that said that the Mount of Olives was sitting on a fault. ready to split at any time. Well, that doesn't prove anything to me. God doesn't need to have a fault. He can create one, and that's no fault of God. He can just create one. But he is coming back one day. So what am I encouraging to do? What is this all about? Without my note, what's this all about? Pray for Israel. Go back in closing there to that Psalm 122. Turn there one more time as we close. Think with me in Psalm 122. Pray for what? Peace of who? Jerusalem. The city of peace. Now, do you believe that's for you and me today? Amen. The result will be rest. By the way, every time I pray for the peace of Israel, I know that peace will not fully come till Jesus Christ comes back. And so I'm actually praying for him to come back in that prayer. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. I want you to, you have many things to pray about. I'm not going to have a raise of hands on this. But I'm asking you today, we're commanded to pray for our leaders of our country. We're commanded to pray for our missionaries. Amen? But very seldom do I hear a church talking about, let's pray for Israel. Let's pray for them. Yet I'm commanded. This great country, by the way, we wouldn't have a Bible if it wasn't for the Jews. You wouldn't have the Ten Commandments if it wasn't for the Jews. Excuse me, you wouldn't have had the birth of Jesus if it wasn't for the Jews. Let's pray. Father, for Israel, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to spend these few moments to share the Word of God about the land that I am so burdened about. For 8 years, our country was taught to look down upon this great land. But hallelujah, no matter how many wrong things he may do, I'm thankful we have a leader today who has made Jerusalem the capital in dealing with the Jews. We're thankful for his protection. And Lord, it is not that the survival of Israel depends upon us, but our survival depends upon Israel. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.